Well, man, I'm gonna introduce a man who get down now for you. I mean, he funky. He's gonna move in next door to your long will dive or so. Hey, here come the Colonel.
Go ahead and laugh. You know, these people that sneak into the studio between takes, they're not funny. They're not funny at all. Welcome back to the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow here on the Science News Radio Network. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. In just a minute, we're going to introduce you to Janae Lee. Now, Janae Lee is with a company called Quantum Corporation. Remarkable things going on at Quantum. Able to take data, store it, and then retrieve the right data that you're looking for. She's going to tell us a little bit about the fixed tower programs going on along the borders that is protecting us from incursions into the country from Mexico. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, though, let's step over to our fountain of useless information we keep here on the set for today's query. How about it?
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
All right, O Spirit of the Fountain, I see we've thrown in the coins, and so we now have you with us, since you hear all, know all, see all, and even tell all for a price. All right, here is an easy query for you this time. What state, the United States state, the town of Oakman, plays host each year to the Sidewalk Egg Frying Challenge? The Sidewalk Egg Frying Challenge happens in Oakman and what state? An easy one for you, old Spirit of the Fountain.
I have given you my answer, and now you may tell the others.
Once again, the Spirit of the Fountain put on the thinking cap and has the answer. Well, there's not a whole lot of choices, is there? How many states could you fry an egg on the sidewalk? Well, if you said Arizona, you're right. It's Arizona. All right. Now, to our second guest of the program this week. Right now, I want to introduce you to Janae Lee. She's the Senior Vice President of File Systems and Archive Products, StoreDex, Big Data, and Wide Area Storage for Quantum Corporation, a sponsor of the Homeland Security Technology Conference that went on in Boston the middle of November. Janae, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
Now, fill us in a little bit. We don't have any idea about much of what you do, but I understand your specialty is wide area storage. And why is that important to the Homeland Security community?
Well, wide area storage is of critical value to the community because for the first time, the community can securely store massive amounts, petabytes of data online for a decade or more, making the valuable historical data available for use by analysts. You know, historically, users and IT organizations have had to migrate that data to nearline media, such as tape, because this couldn't be durable for more than a few years. And also, the systems, when you get enough data, they just became too expensive. It wasn't affordable. Using some amazing new technology, Quantum developed this wide area storage solution that offers many nines of availability across years of service without the need for replication, forklift upgrades, managing RAID rebuilds, or any of the usual headaches of managing really large disk-based data stores. And, you know, in addition, the native durability of the wide area storage architecture allows us to build solutions from very low-cost, low-power disk and server technology, making the operating costs low. So all this adds up to a great long-term storage solution for Homeland Security intelligence data used now and in the future.
All right. Well, help me understand this then. What happens is we're talking about like video cameras. We're talking about maybe telephone conversations. We're talking about any surveillance stuff, that sort of thing. Can all be stored for eons with your wide area storage system. Is that right?
Exactly. So any kind of streaming sensor data is perfect for this kind of solution, whether it's video, sensor data, as you said, conversations, network packets. It's all storable together heterogeneously in the system. And so, for example, a lot of this data has instant use when it's first captured, and it can be shared using our StoreNex technology between analysts and distributed to analysts. But then oftentimes this data has durable value as well. I mean, people may want to look at something that happened a month or a year ago later on to compare it to something that's current and fresh. And having the ability to get that data immediately, because typically, of course, in these situations, time is of the essence in order to react to an event. This is a use case that we've been involved in for a number of years with remote mobile sensing technology, such as drones, but we're very excited about the ability to extend that to some of the things going on in Homeland Security, such as the upcoming Fixed Towers program.
I'm sorry, beg your pardon. What sort of a program are you talking about?
The new Fixed Tower program, which in the Homeland Security area, where the idea is to create a set of electronic surveillance to fence our borders rather than the physical fence that people have been trying so difficult to manage over the past few years.
Okay, so this is electronic surveillance. Now, we're doing electronic surveillance of our borders currently. Now, why is this different from what we're currently doing?
Well, my understanding is that this new program will expand on those capabilities in a pretty significant way to make our borders more secure. And so at Quantum, we look forward to working with the members of the Homeland Security community to help make those borders secure for our country.
Now, this surveillance system along our borders, is going to take the place of the infamous fence that everybody's talking about building, or the tripwires or something like that? Or this, it's going to be a surveillance system that is going to tip people off with if drug smugglers or terrorists or migrant farm workers or whatever are coming across our border?
Well, I understand that it has quite a few very aggressive goals. And many of those would be good to talk to the users in the Homeland Security community about what their goals are for the program. But yes, my understanding is that the intent is to do a more highly available job of making sure we know what's going on at all times.
All right, and so your storage system is like a hard drive that'll fit in on a server someplace and will collect data sent from drones or remote cameras or anything of that nature back to a central area that is secure. Is that correct?
Yeah, although it doesn't have to be centralized, to be honest. One of the other advantages of it, it's actually a mass of servers and hard drive technology that are networked together and where data can be dispersed geographically to offer better availability for in case of a site disaster, and also better availability for performance reasons. So it's not in a single central site the way systems have been in the past. It's more like the kind of Google or Internet cloud-based architecture that people are more familiar with today.
Yeah, okay. So, and you're providing the hardware and the systems for the doing of this, and it could be installed in really any kind of a server that is currently in existence. Is that right, or do you provide the servers and everything too?
The analyst workstations are typically provided by other companies than ourselves, and they typically go with specialized applications. Sometimes those are commercial applications. More frequently in the security community, of course, those are written by the security community itself.
Mm-hmm.
The part that we provide is the intelligent software and hardware that sits behind that, as you said, and it basically ingests, stores, manages, distributes, and maintains the data over an extended period of time. So we sit behind those smart workstations. We work with partners in the community who provide, leading-edge software for the workstations itself. Some of the most interesting applications right now, in fact, are new video analysis tools and packet analysis tools running on those smart workstations. Things like NERV, which is a new application that allows the analyst to go through 24 hours of video in less than 5 minutes and quickly find those images in the video that match things they're looking for. It's obviously a great productivity tool and a great defense against user fatigue. The ability to run those kind of applications, however, requires a very high performance storage system such as ours. And so we work with those partners to make sure that the whole use case is served, but the front end of the application is provided by that partner, not by Quantum.
This is fascinating, and of course, that's what I was going to ask you about is indexing and cataloging and that sort of thing. But then if I was an operator, and I was concerned about something happening on a particular day or time, I can go back and pick out 24 hours of video surveillance, run through it in 5 minutes, and find probably what I'm looking for if it did happen to occur on that day. Now how does that search go? I mean, does it do some sort of a profile, or how do you do that?
Yeah, it's actually, in concept, very similar to the way an automated fingerprint identification system works. It turns out that rather than trying to match an entire visual image, you can pick out certain points of interest in a frame in the video and index those in a database. And then you can index a proposed image of what you're looking for. And then, of course, it's a lot faster to do a database search than it is to visually inspect every single frame for image.
Oh, yeah.
And so what it does is it then responds to the user with a series of frames that are likely, most likely to contain that image. Very similar to the kind of result that you get back from a Google search where it says you're most likely to find it here and here. The user can then quickly map to that section of the video where the application says that boat or that hat or that car or whatever image that they're looking for is to be found, and can identify visually whether or not that's the image that he wanted. And so there's a human element that still needs to be there, but it makes the human element, the analyst, much more productive.
It becomes a great analytical tool, is what this sounds like. And you were saying that the storage is cloud ready. Why don't we explain to the listeners exactly what we mean by cloud ready? Mean like plug and play, that sort of thing?
Well, cloud, of course, is a term that's come to be used in the industry for a service-like provided technology that's very flexible. It's very elastic. You can use more on one day and less on another. You can attach it across a network to a number of different applications. And this wide area storage fits those capabilities, fits those definitions very well. It's natively shareable across multiple applications and users. It's what the IT community calls multi-tenant, which means multiple users can use it, can share it without stomping on each other. It does distribute data across storage nodes geographically, as we said. And its native interface is a cloud, what's called a REST interface, which is, you know, similar to an Amazon S3 interface used in cloud technology.
Okay.
On top of that, we at Quantum are enabling more traditional access models like NFS and SIFS and our own high-speed streaming performance file system, StorNext, because people obviously have existing applications that speak those languages, which they'd like to, you know, leverage the wide area storage with. And so we enable them to take advantage of what they have while they can simultaneously decide if they want newer applications to be written in the more cloud-centered access model. So basically, it's a perfect platform for sharing geospatial, video, sensor data, and other large files across users in a distributed network cloud-like architecture. So, you know, Quantum, we're already innovating in the cloud by offering services in our data protection suite, our non-big data protection part of our business. And now with this wide area storage technology, we will be extending in 2013 into also offering cloud-based services on the wide area storage. But in the meantime, people can use the wide area storage themselves to create private shared clouds for their own environments.
Wow, what a powerful powerful tool that is. Are you being allowed to share this tool with, let's say, our military allies? Like, it comes to mind immediately, Israel, who's building walls. This would be great surveillance for their borders and any number of other countries that are concerned about border infringement too. I mean, how wide is this? Are you able to provide this tool?
Well, we are, of course, a global company. We've been in business for many, many years, and we've been in the big data business for more than a decade. And basically, we are providing that technology to all the countries where a proper import-export certificate is available. So we're careful to make sure that it goes to our allies, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, right.
We have had some rather humorous situations where, at trade shows, people have attempted to pass themselves off as as allies, and we always have to come back to, okay, show us your import-export certificate, yeah. And we'll talk to you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I can understand that quite a bit. Of course, that also leads to another question. Are there less sophisticated models that can be used, let's say, for industry or for home? I mean, a lot of people have home surveillance systems that they would like to have a tool like this. And of course, industry, with their surveillance in parking lots and other places for safety and that sort of thing, I could see a tool like this being absolutely vital for shopping centers and police agencies and that sort of thing. How widespread is this going to be, and then how quickly?
Well, eventually, smaller versions of this system will be available. But and the nature of distributing the information around in the way we described, you need a fairly large online archive for this style of wide area storage technology to really be productive for you. It essentially becomes it becomes sensible at about half a petabyte of data. Now, eventually, that is going to transition downward to smaller systems and smaller customers. But I would say, by the way, that this same technology actually has very high value in the commercial world today for what's going to seem like a widely different use case, but actually is quite similar, and that is the long-term storage of entertainment video. One of the other major areas where this technology is enjoying early interest is in the media and entertainment community, where they have for years needed to store very high-value video for a very long time and make sure it isn't corrupted or lost. The video obviously has to be edited when it's first created. There's a bunch of it. It's very performance-centric. And particularly now that we have 24x7 digital capture movie cameras and the granularity of the video is getting so much deeper. I mean, if you think about what you see in a movie theater today with, 3D or even 4K frame, if you went to see the Avengers, you know, that movie quality. So that quality is provided by the video camera capturing many, many more points of interest, of information that need to be stored. And so my customers on the media entertainment side see this technology as a way to maintain for a very long time their most valuable assets for future, what they call monetization, the ability to make money off of content.
Wow, I mean, what a tool for Homeland Security, and then expanding even from there and to the entertainment industry and for home security and home,
and for the storage of genomics information as we continue to do more exploration and research about both human medicine and things such as agriculture, forensic science. In oil and gas research, the need to keep that oil and gas data for many, many years because, you know, today's raw information about that oil field may result in tomorrow's new find.
Yeah, and of course, the secret is being able to index it and catalog it and be able to pull out what you want, because you just pointed out there's a whole lot of stuff that's useless that is collected and has to be edited. And of course, sometimes you may not know for a long period of time what it is you really want, and so you do need to have long-term storage. But all in all, it sounds like your Quantum is coming up with some really dramatic advances in storage and in indexing and in cataloging.
Yeah, we think so. Thank you for for noticing. We've been in this space for quite a long time. As I mentioned, we've been involved both with big data and with the security community for more than a decade, providing technology and our expertise and a package, a wide portfolio of solutions to try to address their unique concerns with the defense contractors and integrators. And so with our core technology uniquely suited to very large files such as video, sensor data, streaming networks, and our knowledge of the use cases from having worked in the community for this long, we feel like we can be a valuable asset for the community to use to execute against their challenges.
All right, Janae, being an important part of the Homeland Security Technology Conference in Boston was great to have you.
I'm just so excited about what's going on in filling the gaps. This year's IEEE Homeland Security Conference was you know, it's always a great showcase for new solutions and capabilities, but it felt like this year a number of new exciting innovations really are picking up. You know, things like the solutions we've talked about from Quantum, packet analysis tools, rapid video analysis tools. You know, suppliers to the community are really bringing those solutions to fill those gaps. And we at Quantum are really just excited to be a part of the solutions and be a part of the answers to our country's security problems.
All right. How about putting on the meditation cap for just a minute? Give us a peek into the future. What do you see down the road, 5 years, 10 years, or even longer? Do you have a prediction you'd like to share with us today?
Well, I have two predictions. First of all, I don't see the move that's causing this data growth that we've talked about. I don't see it slowing. I mean, our ability to collect more information, to make valuable decisions, or to create the right actions out of those events that we learn from that data, I don't see that going away. And so, to some extent, I mean, perhaps I'm like the weatherman who looks out the window and says, it's raining today, it'll be raining tomorrow, but I don't think so. The drivers that are causing data to grow, whether it's more granular collection of information, the fact that Flash gives us the ability to make data collection more free than it has been in the past, the fact that data has value over extended periods of time is all going to mean that we are, as an industry, as a country, just going to be storing more and more of this, which just makes your point that we have to be able to manage it and we have to be able to find what we're looking for. So my first more serious prediction is that I think that the coming years will simply bring us more and more of the same. And so finding tools that can allow the solid management of this data now is the right thing for people to do, because getting your arms around it while you can is an important first step. And then, of course, my second prediction, which is a bit more more frivolous, is a bit of a prediction and a bit of a hope, and that is that my own Anaheim Angels will win the World Series next year.
Oh, aren't you so clever? All right, Miss Clever. Janae Lee, the Senior Vice President of File Systems and Archive Products for Quantum Corporation in San Jose, California, talking about StoreNext, the big data and wide area storage. You've been absolutely a very, very articulate, fascinating guest with a lot of really wonderful information. You've been so good to have with us, and I appreciate your time just immensely. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for the opportunity.
And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I think when people collaborate and keep it simple, we always come out on top. And, you know, earlier in my life, I thought it was a complex algorithm, and you solved it with calculus, math formula, derivatives across a whole wall. No, it comes back down to the basic. The technology can definitely help in that area, but I remember one individual person said that the technology, the more you use, it will not teach you about humanity and judgment. That is something that we all have to deliver on our own as a civilization. So that's one thing, and I really believe strongly that, again, these meetings in a collaborative environment, humanity is going to take technology to a safe and secure area. Ben Amaba with IBM's Complex Systems and Software Engineering Group, and I am the worldwide executive for these complex systems.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
You'll live tomorrow, 'cause you know what will be there. I am waiting. for you. I am waiting for you. I am waiting for you.